the kill, and Warner wins the set. Fade away by Moores.
In Play with Craig Maddock, made possible by Horton in Britain, a worldwide supplier of engine cooling systems and proud member of the community for more than four decades. HortonWW.com. Welcome to another edition of In Play. I'm Craig Maddock. Today's guest has been a longtime coach up in Aberdeen. He's been a track coach. He's been a cheerleading coach and competitive cheer and dance. Now, he was there when it all came together to sanction competitive cheer and dance. You know, it's been huge for South Dakota. He's also been one of eight finalists for National Coach of the Year in cross country and is a two-time South Dakota Cheer Coach of the Year. And he's getting ready to retire. He's the Aberdeen Central Golden Eagle, Bruce Kleinsasser. Bruce, welcome to In Play.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it.
So is that true? We're hearing about retirement maybe for you?
Yep, well, retirement from cheer. And then I'm not that old. Not that I'm wishing I was older, but I have about a year and a half before then I'm retiring altogether. So, yeah, my brother and I got a house down in Arizona, so we are just waiting to go there. So that's my goal.
How long have you been a part of athletics at Aberdeen Central?
Well, I would say 1984, when they first had the one of the girls' basketball B tournaments, I worked there. I worked at the basketball tournament. I had known some of the people up there. I'd worked the state basketball tournament. So I would say 1984, we've been doing stuff at Aberdeen Central constantly after that then. Scorekeeping, doing this stuff and all that stuff. And then I took over the cheerleading program in fall of 1997. And then that was prior to that, I was at Northern, so coaching them. So that's where I was, and that's how I've been at Aberdeen Central that long, 84. I graduated in 83 and from high school, came to college, and they needed help because back then, that's when we still, Deb Smith would type and we would talk to her. We didn't have the computer.
Deb Smith with the Aberdeen American News, yes.
Yep. And then she would type it, and so we were the computer. We would call the games for her, and then we would run and do all the stuff for her, so that's how we got involved because she needed help and we were friends with her. And she goes, "You guys think you can help me?" And I said, "Yeah." So we did.
So was Aberdeen always going to be your first stop after college? I mean, were there other opportunities or?
There was. Graduated 87 from college. And then I went to work in Pier at the Y. And then they had in the ninth grade or freshman cheerleading coach was new. And the lady that was our cheerleading coach in high school, she goes, "Hey, Bruce is coming. Can you help these guys?" And I said, "Sure," because I'd coached up here. So I helped them for a year, and then about a year and a half, and then I came back to Aberdeen. So I have been in Aberdeen the rest of the time then. So I left for about a year and a half, and other than that, I've been here since I came here in 83, other than that year and a half.
Did you grow up in a big sports family?
No, well, not really, no. My brother was the manager of the basketball team when Pier won and 1979, and then I was just always, we always liked sports. My father took us everywhere. That was our vacation. He would take off a week when we'd go to the state basketball tournaments and in Sioux Falls, and we always just went, or my mom made us, we went, and that was our entertainment on Friday nights, and we just always got involved. But you know, that was just him and I. Just my brother was the manager, and then I was always with the cheerleaders. I was always down watching them and doing stuff with them and cheering on the team.
You know, your first year, though, at Aberdeen Central, describe what was going on. You were in charge of the cheerleaders at that time?
I was. So I was doing Northern at the same time, and Aberdeen Central had gone through an athletic director, and then we got another athletic director, and he called me and he said, "Bruce, what do you think? Can you do this?" And I said, "Well, it's kind of hard because a lot of things are the same, but let me try it." So we did that. Prior to me, they had 14 girls, and then you just picked what they wanted to do. Well, that wasn't what I knew how to do. You had six for basketball, six for wrestling, da 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 da. So we kind of had to change some things and work some things out. But I was blessed with seven great seniors that year, and they were like, Bruce, we just wish you would have came, would have been here 5 years ago for us. And I said, well, I wish I could have too. So they were so good, and they're still great friends of mine, and they're just good kids now. They're mothers. Some of them are grandmothers. Some of them, you know, they're married, have children, doing stuff. And so, and then I just continued to do that, and we just continued to build from that. And then I had, so out of those seven, I had, those girls had sisters, and I had all the sisters then going through. So it was like, you just kept rolling through, and you're like, oh, now the next one's coming. And the parents then were great too, because they already knew who I was and what we were doing. So they kind of really, we had a lot of great support back then. We hadn't yet become competitive, but we were working on it, but we were really good at sideline. You know, we were doing our best for that.
You said you did it at Northern too. How did the Northern spot come out?
Well, two of that, my high school friends that were cheerleaders that I kind of helped in high school, because I would go to practice and do whatever. They came to me and said, Bruce, they made the squad at Northern. They said, Bruce, could you just come and just help us and just stand there and kind of tell us, you know, things you do like you did in high school? I'm like, yeah, okay. So I went over there, kind of did that, you know, and I said, okay, girls, here's what we're going to do. And, you know, kind of had a little structure. I really didn't know much, but I just know from what Archer, leading coach and advisor, you were on time. You had to do these things. You're on the court, all this stuff. So I said, that's what we're going to do. And so then the next year, they make it again. Well, they don't have anybody. There's nobody to do the cheerleaders. So my good friend, well, she's Kim Steele Roby, Derek Roby's wife. She's a good friend of mine from high school. And she said, Bruce, you need to go talk to the athletic director. And I'm like, Jim Kretschmann. And he scared me. And I mean, I was scared of Jim Kretschmann. Anyway, his daughter and I were good friends in high school, but I'm like, or college, but I'm like, So I just went in and said, hey, I'd like to help. And he had a red file. And he said, here's the file. If you have any questions, ask the secretary about getting in the car and any or van or wherever you need to go. And here's your money allotment. So keep within that thing, keep within that range. And if you have any questions, just let the secretary know. So 8 years of that, I did both fall and winter tryouts. Didn't really know what I was doing. So one year I took them down to Sioux Falls to a high school camp. And that's where I kind of started learning about what cheerleading really was all about. So that's where it was. And then now in 1996, 97, started coming, and that's when I started doing both. And then it just got too much.
You're in one of those positions where you're not an educator, right? You're not a teacher. You work outside the school.
Yes. Yep. I worked at the Aberdeen Family Y for about 20 years. And then I went to become Gene Brownell, our athletic director at Aberdeen Central. I was his secretary or administrative assistant for 7. And then I had my hip replaced, and I've had issues with my hip and blah, 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 blah. But it was a change of life for me. And I'm just like, you know, I just don't think I want to do this anymore. And I moved to the hospital and working at the therapy center. And Gene called me and said, Bruce, we can't find anybody. Can you come back and just help us out a little bit and we'll find somebody? Well, that was from 2009. Last year.
You were at the Y. I heard that you were teaching fitness classes, you were doing CPR classes, first aid, right?
Yep, first aid, CPR. We train all the lifeguards with a 150-mile radius of Aberdeen. Still do that to this day. We have a wonderful thing. I go all over the state to do that. Help down in Sioux Falls at the Midco Aquatic Center. You know, you always say, careful what you wish for. I always wanted to be an instructor trainer so I could train people. Well, I became that, and now people don't become that, and now there's not very many of us, and everybody wants to be trained. So I do love it. It just is, there again, I'm getting older, and I have other things to do. But, yep, I taught class every morning at 5:30, water class, taught all the classes during the day. And lifeguard training, CPR, first aid, I still do all that here at the Y. To this day, I mean, I'm still doing. I just did a class on Monday of 20 people, and I do all the community and all of our staff. Cheerleading and swimming was always my love because it was just something that I liked to do, and it just worked because it kind of worked out my schedule, and I could go do all the games and do all the stuff, and had good kids that I worked with, and they worked for me.
How did you become a better coach when it came to leading the cheerleaders?
Well, I think I became a better coach from the people that I started, you know, working with and being around. And then when I became a member of our coaches association, not only our cheerleading coach association, but our South Dakota High School Coaches Association. So that was everybody. And I just kind of said, well, I think we could do those things in cheer, you know, that you guys may be doing basketball or football. We could do those things. And so I really learned a lot of stuff from them. And then the people that were starting the cheerleading stuff, Ruth Rain was in it. That's the biggest thing is Ruth Rain. Her and I were good friends at the Pier Y. It's just a long story, but her and I were friends at the Pier Y. And she's like, Bruce, you know all this stuff and you need to help us and become, you know, get on the board and do all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't think so. And so, of course, I get involved and get on advisory and start helping people and start learning. And then that's how I kind of learned. And then I just started watching videos. I mean, back then It was videos or, you know, what it was. And what I always wanted to be like the University of Kentucky, or I wanted to be like Watertown. The Watertown cheerleaders were always good. They were good jumpers. And I'm like, so I called her and I said, how do you become better? And she goes, well, these are things you have to do. And then I just started doing that all and then becoming involved with all those other people. And then the people in our association really made us all grow together. Patrick Kendrick, Sue Cronkite. I mean, there's so many people that started together. We went to become teachers are of this safety training. And we went down to Kansas City with all the officials and we learned how to do that. And then we would go train. Everyone had to be trained in the safety portion of it. And that's how we kind of got to learn everything. And so that's where I just Patsy and Sue and I and Ruth, we got in this huge van with all the football, basketball and wrestling officials. And we drove down because it was this big, huge convention. And we went to Kansas City and we just started learning and we met Jim Lord, who is a big person for cheer. And he's just like, oh my God, you guys are so far ahead of a lot of states. And he helped us a lot too. And learning about cheer. I mean, learning about what cheer is all about, what safety is all about, what we need to do, what our kids need to do. That's where I learned it. I mean, and I just keep, and those are the people I still go to. I mean, if we have things, I go to Jim Lord or I throw off things with Patsy and Sue or those people. And they've been out of it for a while, but just their knowledge of, hey, this is what you could do. Think about it. So that's what we did.
The sport of cheerleading basically was standing on the sideline and cheering. But it has grown now there's tumbling and there's lifting. And I mean, there's so many things that go with it. And then South Dakota sanctions champion cheer and dance competition. It's been 18 years now. That's been around. It's a huge presence, I believe, in the state. You have several thousand girls who are involved with this sport. I know you were involved with this sport from the beginning. What was it like trying to get this sport sanctioned? And were there barriers that you had to get around to get this sport sanctioned?
Huge. One of the biggest things was we had to convince the athletic directors that it was, you know, that this is what we did. And then that's when we brought those people in and said, this is what we're going to do with putting all these pieces together. And they're like, we had to go to their meetings and they would say no. And then Patsy, we would all go again and they would go, yeah, let's try that. It was just the biggest barrier was convincing them that it was worth it, that it was going to give a much more opportunity to young women and ladies, and that we had to give that to them. So we could build, I mean, like you said, there's 22, 24 AB schools, and there's 19 of us at the AA schools. I mean, that's a lot of kids. I mean, now, back then we didn't have that many, but we had a lot of more kids to do that. So that was the biggest barrier over and over and over, getting pounded down and saying, nope, we can't do it. You got to give us some more stuff. What's it going to do for us? It's going to take 3 hours and we got to pay these people and do this and that and that and that. Once we convinced them, the kids started doing it, you know, putting maybe a little routine together so we could show them. Then they're like, oh, well, maybe this could be. And then, of course, the dance world come in. And they were already kind of there, as in, you know, the dance studios, you know, they would do their recitals. And
yeah,
stuff.
They had their clubs. They had their dance clubs. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And they had their dance clubs and their cheer clubs and football. So it's like they kind of helped us. So we can probably do this. And so, again, we just kept pounding away. I bet you it was 3 to 4 years. And that's when Ruth, two started at me and said, "Bruce, you got to start doing it." And again, I was the only male in this female world, to, you know, with all the coaches, and saying, they go, "Bruce, you got to get up, be the one to get up and talk." And I'm like, "No, you guys got to talk." So they would talk, I would comment, and we really kind of convinced them. I mean, and we really had to. Some of the athletic directors were just like, "Absolutely not. That's a waste of time." And then I've been there, like, "We got to buy more uniforms. We got to do this and that." And I'm like, "Well, you don't seem to care when you buy it for football." But there again, I had a great athletic director in Gene Brownell, and Gene Brownell was like, "Well, he understood, but you still had to convince them, you know, that, hey, this is what we're going to do."
So what got you over the top?
That we finally, the third time around, the two dance people and the four of us, and we showed them exactly what we were going to do and how we were going to run it and how we were going to have the judges train and this and that. And this is how we're going to do the competition. It's going to be, you can have 10 teams, blah, 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 blah. And that was over the top. And they finally said, "Okay, we're going to try it for a year." Well, that was in 2007. And we've been 18 years since. And then we just kept getting bigger and bigger. And then when they started seeing, like at the state tournaments and the other things, all the money coming in, you know, everybody comes to that event.
It's huge.
I mean, our events are huge.
Huge.
Huge. And they always are. Even I was just judging in Wolsey, and there were 7 teams. And that place was packed. I mean, it might be a little gym, but there was no place to sit. And I'm like, "We're in Wolsey, South Dakota, guys." And this is what it's like. People came. And that's where we're at right now. I mean, it's just so big, and it's getting bigger. And when you have to have the Denny or the new place out in Rapid, you know, it still fills it up on the one side. So that's what really took us over, was that I think they were probably getting tired of us. Saying, "You know, let's just try." I don't know. But that was, you know, and you just kept trying because it was all for the kids. We wanted it for the kids. We already had, you know, most of us already had 10 or 15 kids in our system, as in cheer, you know, for basketball, football, and wrestling. Well, we already had those kids. We didn't need to go get them, but we were going to get more, though, because maybe they didn't want to be competitive. And then once they saw the stuff we did, then they're like, "Yep, we're on board." So, and they've been on board ever since. And then now they're our biggest advocate. I mean, they're our biggest person to say, "What do you got? What can we do next? How can we make this better? How can we have more competitions?" You know, so now all the, you know, these little towns are getting into it. I mean, I'm judging this year now. So I went to Wagner, and we're going to Elkton Lake Fenton. You know, there's just all these little towns that are tuning in. And when I, like I said, when we walked into Wolsey on Tuesday, we got Renee Cummings, and I said, "Wow, there's a lot of people."
And you had a bigger gym.
I mean, it's just amazing that it's gone that far.
What was the sport like its first couple of years? I mean, I'm talking about the routines themselves. You know, everyone's learning this new sanctioned sport. What was it like the first couple of years?
Well, the first couple of years was really hard because we didn't have a base. So we are a base of what we were going to use for criteria, you know what? Because we didn't really want to use the NCAA and UCA cheerleading program, the national one. We wanted it to fit South Dakota. So it was really hard. Was it more subjective? Was it, you know, was it more detailed? That was the hardest thing, because like one time you could get a score of out of 300, you could get 229. And the next time you only get 150. And then because the judges were so, they were, you know, they all had different opinions and we all had different things and we did different things. And the clubs, some of the schools down south who had club experience, you know, where were we giving the experience? So the first couple of years was, I would say, putting together a score sheet. So our score sheets, what are we going to do for safety? Our score sheets have evolved in the last 18 years. And now we have a rubric where here are the criteria. If you want to make these points, here's what's going to happen. Sure. If you're going to do illegal stunts or things like this, this is where you're going to get deducted. So we evolved from just a piece of paper that had maybe 5 or 6 things when we started in to a whole page worth 100 points. That was the biggest thing. And I hate to say it, but to this day, it's still a big thing because we want to make sure that we are getting those score sheets so that the kids are getting the best thing out of what they're doing, regardless of your level, regardless of where you're at. So that was the hardest thing. And it still is hard because we have people that say we want this. We have people that say we want this. What's the majority? What's this? And we were just on a meeting call yesterday, and we were talking about the same thing that we talked about probably at that time. We got to make those changes, and we're trying to make it better. And then to get everybody on board. And you have to remember, then we were going through people too. So Ruth left. Here comes Joe. We had to teach her and all that stuff to tell her what's this. And now Christina Sage, and they all did wonderful jobs for us. And they all advocated for us. And they said, hey, we want to do the best for you. So I would say the score, that was the hardest part. And I mean, we had people that wanted to judge. We had people that wanted to do events. We had people that wanted to do everything. And then we started getting also into conference. So it was hard because it's like, well, like they had the ESC conference. Well, the ESC conference is you win so many things. Well, we didn't have that because we only have to go to two competitions a year. So then we said, well, can we just have one day that's ESC? So all the ESC schools do it. Whoever wins does it. So then that started evolving for that too. And then that helped us out a lot to say, okay, now we're ESC champions and we're this and that. And then the other big thing was we always have all-state basketball, all-state football. And I would say in the last probably 10 years, we've got that
it's
down
growing.
To a pat. Here are your all-state cheerleaders. So we never had any of that. So there were so many things, and it was so hard to convince people that we wanted the same thing. And they said, well, cheerleading is not the same. We need numbers. They always wanted numbers. And I'm like, well, we don't have numbers. I mean, we have scores, but we don't have numbers for a kid.
What makes up, for someone who doesn't really know what competitive cheer and dance, that whole event is like, what is it today?
Well, these athletes, first of all, have to be in top shape. I mean, they have to be in the weight room, which the kids are, and they have to be dedicated to the sport. I mean, they are from tumbling all over the floor to jumping to then going into stunts and pyramids. And you're talking, you're talking people that have 18, 19 kids, you're putting up four or five different things at a time within 2 minutes and 30 seconds. You have to be able to do that. And if you want to, that rubrics, if you want to score fives, fours, and fives, you got to put a lot of elements in that thing. So our kids are working so hard to get there. I mean, we are throwing healing bodies all over the place. They're twisting, they're coming down. They are tumbling into the stunt to go up to the top, and then they're coming back down the same way. Athletically, they have to be athletes and athletic to do all that. And so to put a routine together for 2 minutes and 30 seconds to get the most you can, you're doing a lot of work in that, you know, between your cheer, your tumble, and your pyramid. That's a lot of stuff to put in there. So our kids are working so hard to get there.
The coaches are the ones who come up with the specific routines, right? The coaches are doing this. How complicated can that be?
It's very complicated. Well, my thing was, that was never my forte. My forte was to coach and get them better. And so most everyone has choreographers that come in and do it for you. But, you know, in the middle of it, and some of it you have to change. But there are so many things that they do that I have to make sure, or the coach has to make sure, that we do what they wanted us to do. There's just so many things that they show you all the stuff. You have your markings. You have to be in formation. You know, you have to make different formations. Your cheer has to be, what's it, your elements in the cheer? Do you have a flag? Do you have pom-poms? Do you have a megaphone? Do you have whatever? You know, do you have the mascot come out? Whatever it is. So you have to incorporate all that stuff. And so that's really involved because we never did that before. We jumped, we pyramid, and we did our cheer. Well, now we're putting all those other things in there. So almost everyone, except a couple, have a choreographer that comes in and does all that for you. But there again, we do that in the summer, and a lot of things can happen between the summertime and fall. We might lose a person, or someone doesn't want to do it, and we got to change everything. So then that's what we have to do. We have to know how to change stuff. I really had good assistant coaches that were good at that. I was more the lead. I was more the coacher. Those guys were my helpers. They knew that stuff because they either cheered for me or they had done it before.
In Class A, Sioux Valley has won the championship every year. Every year it's been sanctioned since 2007. So what makes that so impressive for Sioux Valley?
All those kids go to the the girl that's coach, Casey, also has a club, and they all go to the club, and then they all cheer for her. So they do all that stuff year round. So they're doing it year round. That's what makes it so impressive that they do all that stuff. And so that's why they're so elite, because they can do all that stuff throughout the whole year. And I'm just saying that because they can do that. They can do club, and then they come back and they do the cheer portion of it, you know, during the season. And when you can do those elite stunts and do all that stuff and you can get fours and fives, that's what's going to happen. And that's why they're so good. And then she makes them work. I mean, those kids lift, they tumble, they have to go to tumbling class, they do stuff. I mean, they do all that stuff throughout the whole summer or in the whole year. She did a lot of our clinics and stuff. She and her assistants would come in and they would show us what they did. And this is what we do. And nice. This is how we do it. And so she gave all that information to us and said, this is what we did. And she said, you got to remember that I'm a self-taught tumbler. She was from Falkton. They taught them how to tumble. And now she teaches those kids how to tumble. She was in like some of those groups that when Falkton won the state title too, Casey was with Cindy Kopecky and those guys up there. And then she just became, she just was learning. She loved cheerleading and she wanted to know how to tumble. And so she's the one that kind of brought tumbling into, because we had tumbling and non-tumbling. So you didn't have to tumble. And then she brought that in and said, we all should be able to do cartwheels and forward rolls. Then when you can know that this person was self-starter, that you could do that too. So that's, they practice hard. They do a lot of stuff.
What's the toughest thing that these athletes have to do when it comes to this sport?
Oh, well, one of them is putting those pyramids together and putting two girls high, you know, putting high and getting them down and then throwing them up. And then the last couple of years is inversion. So like their heads are to the floor and we're flipping them back up and then they're coming and laying down. I mean, there's so many things you're like, oh my God, don't drop her. But they're becoming so elite, those kind of things, that now it's just easy now for them to do. Now what's the next level that we have to do? What can we do to that? And now we're twisting them into that. I mean, we have them up in the air with two girls standing. You know, we have people standing up in the air and they have the people on the bottom. And then we're holding these people and we're twisting these people all over and catching them and then throwing them back up and flipping them back on their stomach. That is the hardest part. And again, it's 2 minutes and 30 seconds. We got to get all that in there. I mean, you got to get all that in there. So your counts are quite fast. And so you're getting those kids up in that air, up in the air, and then having to get back out. And now we had to come run around, do tumbling, and now we got to jump. So that is the hardest part, because one of the things is you have to have all those kids to make that element. And when someone's sick or someone's gone, it's not like I can just say, okay, put somebody in like basketball, you know, at basketball, because I can't do that, because that maybe the girl that needs to come in has never been a base or never, and she was a flyer the whole time. So there's a big balance between that and going, well, I just can't pull somebody in to do that.
You coached Aberdeen Central to a state title 4 years in a row, what, 2010 to 2013. What made the Golden Eagles so good those 4 years to win titles?
Well, one, we didn't tumble. So, because that was back in the no tumble, we didn't have tumble. Two, we had great choreography. A girl came in from New Hampshire, and she had so many different elements of everything. But I think it really was the kids. Our kids really, those years, again, now we go back to what I talked about, sisters. I had all the sisters. You know what I'm saying? In those 4 years, I had all the sisters from 1997 in those groups. So they knew how we functioned. And then the one time, or one of my cheerleaders, who was the mother of the one, she was in that when we won all those two, the daughter was, and we won all those titles and we won the ESC. So I think it was that they knew mentally that this is what we were doing, and they just worked really hard. And we had 18 on one, we had 16, 20, 18 on those 4 years. And they just all stayed with us. I mean, that was the other thing. People stayed with me. And I had great assistant coaches. So, like, my assistant coaches were either cheered for me, so they knew the caliber of what I wanted. And our big thing is just what I would always say, just go walk down the hall. Don't you want your picture up there? I mean, that's what we would say. Do you want to be like your mom or your sister? Go look down the hallway.
How weird was the 2020 COVID year for cheer and dance?
It was sad because, you know, we just didn't, we had a really good squad that year. Our year was, we had a really good squad and all the kids got sick. And when we got up to the state and all majority of our kids got sick, it was hard because you would go to, and then we had pods. So you only four teams would go, you'd come home and you'd leave. So it really wasn't, and there was nobody in the gym, just us. It was just one of the weirdest things that I've ever encountered in cheer. And then when we got sick and we couldn't go, it was like they worked really hard and it just didn't happen. And I mean, they could have got sick from anything else too, but I'm like, yep, that's what happened. And we didn't go. We were the only team that didn't go that year.
You were nominated for National Coach of the Year 2014. What did that mean to you?
Well, it meant a lot because there again, our South Dakota High School Coaches Association was always, you know, about they had a hard time with us bringing cheer into the South Dakota Coaches Association. And I was a big part of that. And they're like, and I'm like, and they didn't recognize cheer as a sport at the national level until like gymnastics and all that stuff. And so then we kind of got in there, and then they nominated me and said, hey, Bruce, I think that you should be this. And I'm like, oh, really? Because that's really important to me. And I'm like, that's very nice. And it was probably the second biggest honor I ever received in that realm of coaching. So I just, you know, I went, and, you know, you didn't have no idea who was in. There's eight of us, and you had no idea where you ranked at. And it was just really nice. They talked about you. They put all this, you know, your pictures up and everything. We were in Rochester, Minnesota. And so it was probably one of my biggest honors. I mean, one of the biggest ones. I have other ones, like my Spirit of Sixes and all those things are really important to me because those girls made me what I was. They made me become that award and get that award. I just helped coach, and then we got the accolades from that. Because those girls work so hard, and especially the ones that when you won 3 years or 5 years or 4 years in a row, they made that. They did it all. I only coach them. They are the ones that we have the trophies for. That's what we have.
Cheer Coach of the Year twice.
Twice. Lucky, probably.
Lucky.
No, I don't know.
I don't think so. You know, just last year, 2024, you won the Max Hawk Award from the South Dakota Coaches Association. You know, that means that you're good at what you do, Bruce, and you've been doing it a long time.
In the back of my mind, when I become a member, I always wanted to be that. And I say this in a good and a bad way. I was not one of the good old boys. I was always the pusher. So I was like, hey, let's try something different in the Coach Association. Let's try something this. Let's do this. Let's do this. And they was like, Bruce, you know, we can't, whatever. And I'm like, well, I'll never get that award now. You know, I'll never get that award. It'll never be my thing and in my realm. And then when the nominations came through, and I'm like, and they said my name, and I'm like, oh my God. And then we had to go out of the room and come back, and they said, you won. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, I was just totally shocked because it was something I wanted. It was something I wanted on my wall. It was a goal of mine. And it was, and then that award, like you said, I don't know, it's me. That's what I do. I do all the grunt work, and that's what I want. That's what I want to do, make everybody better. I want to do that. And that's what the Max Hawk Award is all about, to make people look better and to make sure that our organization and anybody's organization that I work with does the best. And when I got the award, his wife and his daughter gave it to me, and she gave me the squeezed my hand. She goes, you are so deserving of this award because you live what he did. And I said, that was the best thing ever. And I'm like, okay, I guess that I am that person. So, and it was difficult. It was hard for me because I'm like, I don't know if I think I was. But when she said that, I'm like, I am. That's what that award's all about.
You're right.
It is about doing all the extra stuff and making the other things shine.
I got two more for you. Where do you see the sport of cheer and dance going in the future?
Oh, it's just going to get bigger and better. Things are going to be, I don't say changing, but we're going to try to get more divisions, as in, so we don't have all the heavy people at the top and all the people never getting there. Maybe we're trying to figure out how to do that in a manner of, you know, I don't want to use club or I don't want to use NCAA, UCA, but we need to probably have divisions, like divisions of 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know, and figure that out. But I think that's going to come, but we've got to, again, the new people and the people are thinking that we just got to get it and convince the ADs. How is it going to affect everything? What's it going to do? We're going to go back to that ground zero, but we are going to flourish and we're going to have more and more kids. We already, I think we had what, 2, 3 more squads this year than we had last year. I think we're just going to, it's going to become bigger and better. And then if we could get into, it's called game day competition, where it's like a game and it's a day and they throw things out and you have to do a cheer or a chant. And I think if we could start that out with the people that don't have as many kids as everybody, and then we could build onto that. And that probably is going to be coming here in the near future. Again, just a lot of work to get that all done, but it's going to have more and more people to do that. So that's where we're going to go.
Bruce, you're so passionate with this sport for so many years, for so many decades, and you've mentioned retirement. I can't see you stepping away without being involved. I mean, what is next for you, Bruce?
So now I've been judging, but now I'm really getting into the judging portion, and I'm going to try to help get everybody on the same pages, you know, do some things with that for the cheer thing. I also do the cheer program. So the program that they use for the scoring program, I and Dr. Jennifer Yonke down in Yankton, her and I, she's not in Yankton anymore, but she designed it. I kind of put it together, and now we use that program, and we kind of had to change it a little bit because dance this year had changed some of the criteria, so we had to change it. And so I'm trying to help with that just to make sure everything goes smooth, because you all, like, when you run an event, you're only doing it once a year. You're not doing it every week like basketball, football, wrestling. So I want to make sure everyone knows how to do that. So like I went to Harrisburg to make sure we knew how to do it correctly down there, because I happen to be down there for something. And I'm going to Watertown because it's at States in Watertown. So I want to make sure that it's going to be run and we're going to run it correctly. So that's one of my big things for that. And I don't know, cheer just will always be there. I help at the state basketball tournament, unless that's not going to be part of what I do, but I'm so involved in that, or whatever tournament we're having, I'm involved in that, because I like to do the grunt work and make sure everything looks good. And the
you can't do that.
Nice.
You can't do that from Arizona if you got a house in
Arizona. I can though, because I can fly back up, and I'm like, I can come back. But yeah, I think that once I decide that if I want to live there year round, then I might do that. But there's a couple more years left here, and I'm getting my knee replaced here at the end of the month, and hopefully that'll make things a little bit better and kind of get me going. And but there's so many things, and I am involved in my church. I'm involved in this. I'm involved in that. And I just want to make sure everything is good for everything. And people want to see things, and I see things and I go, why are you doing that way? And I don't know, just be careful. I always say, be careful what you wish for, because I always say at the state tournament, I watch the state tournament and go, I could do what those people do. I could do that. And then when you get to do it, you're like, oh my God, there's a lot more to it than just watching it on TV. So I do enjoy all that. And I do enjoy helping. And now that Christina, she's the new Joe, but this is her second year. And she's like, she just appreciates everything that we all do to help her, to make sure she, knows all the ropes. And it's just nice that we can do that. And Jean Brownell taught me everything about what I needed to know and what we needed to do, and it's all about the kids, and we want to make sure it's a big event for kids. So I don't think I'm going to leave. Well, I'm already got judging, and I only thought I'd do one or two. Well, I've been judging every week, just because if something happens, I can go now because I don't have cheerleading, and I can go do that.
In Play with Craig Maddock is made possible by Horton in Britain, where smiling at work happens all the time. Apply now at HortonWW.com. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. It helps us gain new listeners. This has been In Play with me, Craig Maddock. This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.